Welcome back to another episode of the Nationwide Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about, of course, young people, but different ways that they can navigate the challenges that they are going through. I am your co-host, Deara Springer. Along with me,
Ashana Joseph.
And joining us, I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Hello, I am Dr. Nicole Lynch. I am a registered counseling psychologist.
Okay, thank you so much for being here on the show with
us. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you're someone whose practice and skill set is centered all about young people, whether that be school counseling, early childhood education, or fostering environments that positively impact young adults and children as well. Why was this the particular subfield that you decided to hone in on?
I'll be honest. I cannot honestly sit here and say I decided. It was almost like I followed things that interested me. And then there was God's providence in there as well. So I remember sitting in one of my sixth form classes and discussing just the issues around teen pregnancy, homelessness, drugs. And like, my heart hit so hard. Like, we gotta do something, like, what you could do. And I was so disturbed that I went and I spoke to the guidance counselor. Mm. She's like, Nicole, it sounds like you might be interested in counseling. And honestly, up to then, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. So it was like, light bulbs went off. She's like, and that's how I got into my first set of studies around counseling and psychology. After I came back, I was excited to be a counselor, but there were not any counseling positions. And that's how I ended up in a primary school teaching. And that's where my love for like early childhood started to grow. I think up until that point, I didn't think I was good with children. I didn't think I was a teacher, but like a love for just the marrying of psychology and childhood and adolescence started to grow, I think, just through the providence.
In regards to issues teenagers and young adults face, one common solution is to be proactive rather than reactive. Why is a proactive mindset beneficial to tackling issues young people face, whether that be involvement in crime, the way they view relationships, or self-esteem issues?
It's so critical, so critical. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes as a society, we can build a roundabout after there have been collisions, right? Oh, shoot, they need a roundabout here, and then you see it go up, right? But we don't want to do that with lives. And that's the heart of these issues here. These are lives that we want to turn out to be productive, to be resilient, to be contributing. And what we know from the literature is if we can get ahead of some of these issues, we can position our young people to thrive. And what that means is if we're looking at this proactively with a proactive mindset, it means we're prioritizing early childhood. We're recognizing that as our children enter the world in that period from 0 to 3, oh, there is so much that we can do that will impact them, not when only when they're 0 to 3, but when they're 33, when they're 43. Because if we can invest in safe environments for our children, 0 to 3, help them to feel safe, help them to feel seen, help them to grow in their literacy and their emotional regulation skills, then we are already ahead of the game on things like crime prevention and, you know, like youth violence, because we're building their capacity to know who they are, to know their love, to know they belong, and to know what they can contribute to themselves and to the relationships that they will find themselves in. When I think proactivity then, I think making sure that we are aware of protective factors and building those protective factors in as early as possible. Yeah. Protective factors are things like community, you know, making sure we connect our children to groups, to other family members in safe ways. Protective factors are things like helping our children to know when something is bothering them. Mm-hmm. They can come to us and they can say, Auntie, Granny, Granddad, and speak their minds, speak their hearts without fear of, that's what you worry about. You got stress.
Oh, preach it.
You got, you know, you're no stress yet. Mm-hmm. Wait till you got, like, stop it, please. Our children are little people, but they're people.
Yeah.
And I really want to encourage us to recognize that they want to be seen. They want to be heard. they want to be understood. And in doing that, we are building a certain type of resilience in them that protects them for days to come.
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
I love what you mentioned about having a community, because I find in today's society there's not much of that, you know, in certain parts of Barbados, and you need a community to be able to guide the young people, especially to direct them on the right path if they're going wrong, give them advice. You know, a community is so important in the lives of young people and anybody in general.
It is. I mean, the older folk know it. They said it takes a village to raise a child. Now, the challenges that we have encountered with changes in the way that homes and communities are structured have made it that much harder to, you know, have the village.
Yeah.
You know, no longer are many people growing in multi-generational homes like they would have in the village. You know, it'd be granny and auntie and uncle and, you know, everybody looking on. So we have to be that much more intentional about seeking out safe, I emphasize safe, because even as we seek to do community, we always want to make sure that we are protecting our children, not turning a blind eye to some of the other issues that might be there, but making sure they're involved in sports, faith activities, that if you see a gift or a talent, you find ways to connect your child. You know, if they're good with singing, you get them into something where they can sing. If they're good with art, find some art opportunities. And also creating mentorship groups. I think that's an awesome way to create a good sense of community.
Yeah. And I think one of the main problems that we are struggling with in terms of being proactive in addressing these issues is the fact that sometimes persons just don't know what the issues are or the factors that are contributing to said issues, or there is a lack of care sometimes, honestly. But in your experience, what are those critical issues that you've seen coming up predominantly in the Gen Z generation?
So much. I think they get a bad rep sometimes. Some of them have had really hard childhoods. Some of them have experienced abuse leading to trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I often like to say there's no big T and little T.
Yeah.
Trauma is trauma. And it's about how you've experienced that thing that happened. So often in my work as a psychologist, you know, I see persons who may come in for one issue. But when we start to kind of dig a little deeper, what we start to recognize is what is one of the things that is happening is that their past is present.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the past, but it's really coming up as it is in the present. So I think the issue of like child abuse in its various forms is something that some of them are grappling with.
Yeah.
That's coming out in how they feel about themselves, how they interact in their relationships, and how they feel about the world in general. That's one issue.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the issue now with technology. You can see what everybody doing.
Yep.
Everybody doing. Everybody doing better than you.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody got more together than you.
Yeah.
So for a lot of young people, there's this sense of, I am behind.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in front of me. And like, no matter how much I do or how much I did what they told me to do, go to school, get a job, I'm still behind. And that, like, a lot of them carry this sense of, I'm not good enough, you know, and hopelessness at times as well, and confusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. And also relationships, you know, we can touch on that.
Yeah.
But that is something that I think, I think there's a lot of loneliness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of loneliness and a lot of not knowing how to really go about creating these meaningful, deep relationships that they really do crave.
Yeah.
And then learning to live at home now as an adult is another thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, you sound like you can identify.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that intergenerational conflict
mm-hmm.
is another thing that they're carrying. Because they grow, but sometimes how we parent them hasn't necessarily grown to match.
Yeah.
So there can be some chaos at home sometimes as well.
I know we're going to delve into the relationships in a minute, but what are some practical ways that you think persons can actually help in addressing these issues, especially with the child abuse? Because sometimes I think it is an uncomfortable thing and persons may want to help, but they just don't know how. So how can, as a society, as a collective, how can we help young people that are going through these different issues that you've identified?
So as it relates to the issue of abuse, I think it starts where we started, where prevention, you know? So be aware of what some of the signs are. You know, changes in behavior are often what we would say to look for a child that perhaps was very, you know, talkative and engaging, is now withdrawing, or look for sadness. It can be different. So I would say just look for those changes in behavior and listen when they tell.
Mm-hmm.
Believe them, investigate. And it's not for you to investigate. I think that's what holds some people back. Like, they feel they have to figure out what happened, but it's to report it. Mm-hmm. So here in Barbados, we report to the child care board. And there are ways to do that anonymously mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to kind of draw back on the point you made about trauma. One thing I find in the Caribbean is that we often tend to disregard trauma. One specifically is mental health. From the time a teenager or young person says, oh, I feel depressed, you know, you first you hear, what are you depressed about? You don't have bills to pay, you know, this and that. And that kind of really makes the situation worse for that individual yeah. because it's like, I feel this type of way and I'm coming to you reaching out and it's yeah. like, you don't care, you don't regard my feelings. And yeah. that makes the situation even worse. So how can we get over that or try to properly address it so that the next time a young person comes and says, I need help, how do we then help them or yeah. know the right thing to say?
Yeah, and that's such a beautiful question because many of us haven't necessarily been taught this thing about emotions, no?
Yeah.
I remember being at grad school, having to do group counseling. And group counseling was not like we all come and we're working on a skill. Group counseling was like we come and we were doing process therapy. And what process therapy is you just talk about what's in the room.
Hmm.
Oh my gosh. I am in my 20s heading to 30 mm-hmm. from Barbados. And this thing is driving me crazy because I'm like, what? We're going to sit here for 2 hours and talk about feelings? And then there was this thing about it not, you know, a feeling is a feeling and not a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be honest, even in my early days of training to become a counseling psychologist, to recognize I had not been actually taught what is a feeling and what is a thought.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the kind of education that we have traditionally received in terms of learning that emotions are just messengers and that they are not good and they're not bad, that they just are. So I think a big part of that is us as a society beginning to become more open to emotional expression at the individual level, at the family level, and learning the language of, okay, so how are you doing today? And mm-hmm. actually teaching our children feelings, words. You know, good is not a feeling. How are you doing?
I feel good.
Good.
Good
is not a feeling. Because, and why is it important? Because what we know is when we can name a feeling, then we can tame a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge then that I put out there for all of us is to begin to check in with ourselves so that we become safe people for other people to check in with. Right? So learn like yourself and how you know when you start to feel a little irritated or when you're starting to feel a little sad, like maybe there's a little something in your tummy or a little twinge up here in your chest, you know, taking that time to normalize the fact that it's okay to have feelings, I think is the first step in helping young people to feel safe talking with us about the feelings. And validating. So validating doesn't mean I agree with you. I think a lot of people worry when somebody come and say something about how they're feeling and they don't agree with it. So the instance of what you said, this person, a child comes and they're feeling stressed out, exams and this body ain't like them and this body so them bad, look bad. And so not this way. Well, who care what them think? Them mother buy that bag for them? Then who cares, right? No.
Oh,
so when they said it, it made you feel something, right? Yeah, that makes sense. I remember when I was going to school and somebody said, oh, it'll feel real. But you tell me, like, how you felt, how you feel, you know? Okay. Sorry to hear that. Like, I could totally understand why you felt that way. And you would not believe how that is perhaps all that child might need at the moment. Validation. The stamp on them that says, I am not crazy. I've been seen. Mm-hmm. Something about feeling like somebody see your state helps the state to tame and dissipate. So we have to lose that feeling of, I have to agree. It's not about you and how you want to be in that moment. It's about the need of that person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to switch gears a bit and we're going to look at relationships. And there seems to be a lack of seriousness when it comes to long-term committed relationships among the young people. And this mindset leads to casual sex or situationships. Is this simply down to them being young and exploring, or has the need for a long-term commitment no longer there?
So tentacly. All these tentacles. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think that even in an era of situationships and all types of ships, that underneath it all is a fundamental need to belong and to connect. I think not through olden days and in the olden days, developmentally, we know in this Gen Z area, which is 14 to 29, that spans adolescence and young adulthood, you're curious, you're exploring, you're trying to figure out this for me, this ain't for me. And I think now they have many more things to explore.
Oh, yeah.
And many more ways to explore it. And not always the skills, the know-how to navigate it. So hence all that we have, the complexities of it. But I feel like exploring is part of this stage of their development. It's just there's been an explosion of new pathways of exploration.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are the green flags and red flags that they can look out for in terms of the relationships?
So important. Red flags are those things that, and again, back to checking in with yourself and knowing yourself, because, and it's, you know, just like what you asked in terms of not squishing your feelings and pushing down your feelings. Mm-hmm. Because our body gives us signs. We know when something is off. We get that little inkling, like, this ain't feel good, this ain't feel safe. Yeah. So paying attention to how you are feeling in relation to that person. You know, how do I feel when I think that they might be irritated with me or they may be angry with me? Like my pores rising, my heart beating a little faster,
sweating,
you know, like those are things to pay attention to. Minification of your feelings, you know, that don't matter. Like, what are you feeling? A pattern of that, you know, that, and nobody is perfect in relationship. There are times we'll be insensitive, but it's the ongoing pattern of it. Physical violence, emotional violence, like being harmful to you with their words, that's also, you know, like dishonesty, red flag. Controlling your whereabouts, controlling your money, controlling where you live, any sort of controlling behavior, isolating, attempts to isolate you. Why you always want to go, you know, with them? You can stop here with me. I don't like when you hang out. I don't like that friend, you know. Pay attention to those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any green flags?
Oh, yeah. How you feel? You know, like, safety is the feeling that you want to pay attention to. And back to your question that you asked before in terms of about them maybe not getting into long-term relationships, what the research is showing about Gen Z is that they value authenticity. They want real.
For sure.
And to know that it's real, you gotta take your time and you gotta watch and see. And that's what some of them are doing. So, like, a green flag is, you know, just watching this person over time and do their words meet, and, you know, do people talk, the old people say the morning word and the night word, the morning word and the night word matching most of the time, right? Do you feel safe with them? That's the other thing that Gen Zs are looking about, that maybe, you know, more so than past generations, emotional safety. So not just do I feel physically safe with this person, but how do I feel when I'm in a vulnerable place? Mm. How do I feel when something has gone wrong with my school life, or my family life, or my career life? Is this a person I feel like I can come and lay my burdens down and be comforted?
Yeah.
Those are green flags. Respect, you know, respecting that you may be a couple, but you are also individuals and you don't have to be their carbon copy. Mm-hmm. You know, they like Manu, you don't have to like Manu. I was wearing Manu before I got married because my husband was a Manu person. But then I came to know better and I switched to Barcelona.
Sounds right.
Seriously speaking, you want somebody who isn't going, you're so strange, why you like that kind of music?
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to be this, you're trying... No, you want someone who, a green flag is someone who just honors you, sees you, and honors the person that you are.
Yeah.
All the while, the two of you trying to mutually grow through your imperfections together.
Yeah.
So I also have to mention communication,
mm-hmm.
which is another skill that we learn over time. And this is the advocate in me in believing that these are things that we really need to be teaching our young people in a more organized way. Communication skills, self-awareness skills, just like how we teach the academics, we really need to be somehow engaging them in very intentional ways about this. So you're looking for healthy communication as well.
Agreed.
Now we're going to wrap up, but I just wanted to say, as young people, we may feel as though life never stops. Everything is coming one after the other.
Yep.
And it's like, when do I catch a break? And Diara and I can relate, because it's like every time you have something to do, then something else pop up, and
mm-hmm.
it's never ending.
You want vacation? All no.
Yes,
all no.
Same.
All no.
For 6 months.
Let it be.
For 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just keeps coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do we kind of roll with the punches, like stay above water
mm-hmm.
instead of drowning?
Wow, it's so much. So the word that comes to mind is developing resilience. The literature points to just the challenge of living in a society where everything is immediate,
mm-hmm.
instant gratification is something that you grow with, and then being confronted sometimes with things not going your way. And because you haven't had the time or, you know, to develop that muscle of resilience and learn, it can become a little bit more challenging. So I think working towards self-soothing, learning to soothe yourself, is going to be important to roll with the punches. And what that looks like is talking to yourself like a friend, being compassionate. You know, sometimes the voice in our head is not the voice that we would say to other people.
Yeah,
in our
so
head,
true.
Why am I so far behind? Why am I taking so long to get this thing done? I was working on this ever since. Look, we went to school together. Look how much house them got and how much car. And
yeah.
I saw here behind struggling. No, we want to talk to ourselves like a friend would. So that self-compassion piece, I think, is important. Normalizing just the discomfort of change and growth as well, so that you recognize you are where many people are, learning to deal with the challenges of life. So giving yourself that grace, that space of grace, in that is how it is now, but with time, there's hope for things to get better. And developing what we call a growth mindset, where you know, help yourself to learn to approach failure not as a sign of your worth or your identity, but as a failing forward. Like this, you know, my daughter and I like to watch those shows that made America great. And what we always see with these brand names that we know eat their food in the supermarkets and what, they fail so
many times,
right? So we want to normalize failure, that we like look at what was it, what we could do better, and move forward. And we want to make that check-in process a part of our daily lives. How was today? What went well? What didn't go well? How did I feel about it? What I want to do differently tomorrow? Yes, I think those are things that can help. Mindfulness. I know sometimes when people hear the word mindful, they think woo-hoo and not Caribbean. You breathing? You breathing? We can be mindful. Because mindfulness is just tapping into those parts of our senses and our body that help us to slow down and to regulate and to be present. So I often teach my clients a really simple mindfulness practice where we just take a breath in, breathe in for four, hold it for four, and release for six. And it's simple, but what that is saying to your system is you're safe, you're calm. Because with the constant pace that life is coming at us, our shoulders can get in a hunch, our whole body could get tense. And we want to begin to send the signal to our body that, you know, it's okay, you're gonna be all right. So that over time we can feel better in our bodies as well on a daily. Journaling is also something, and back to community and connection, finding ways, you know, taking up a sport, joining a gym, going walking and saying hi to people as you walk. Just finding different ways to make sure we're not isolating, but that we're staying connected is also good for building resilience. And rest. Rest. There is no resilience without rest and recovery. So taking breaks, albeit maybe not, you know, we might not be able to take a long break, but I encourage micro practices, micro breaks. So every day, 5 to 15 minutes, something that feeds you and makes you feel good or makes you feel joyful every single day. 5 minutes for you. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a bowl of cereal at night and maybe 10 minutes of Golden Girls and I set, you know. But whatever it is that lights you up, we need to embrace those moments because we are not machines. Mm-hmm. And purpose is also protective.
I think that was a powerful way to end this episode. And for sure, I will try to use some of those pointers that you outlined today. And that brings us to the end of this episode of Nationwide. Thank you, Dr. Nicole, for joining us. It was a pleasure having you here, you know, learning how to navigate life as a young adult. And I hope that our viewers who are watching could also take away something from this episode.
I hope so, too. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And to those of you watching, thank you for tuning in. If you want to see this episode and more, go to our YouTube channel, our website, and any platform where you stream your audio podcasts. Until next time, bye.